For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Doing okay, huh? Yeah, well, I'm doing okay too. Yes, I did bring my phone out, which is a no-no. Here, Bart, I'll let you take that back. You probably weren't here a few Sunday nights ago when it went off during service. And it was my wife having a conversation with me. Very interesting. We want to, first of all, welcome Las Vegas. They're joining us live today in Las Vegas. And here's what I want us to do. When I count to three, I want all of us to say hello to Las Vegas when I count to three. One, two, three. Okay, Las Vegas. No, no, no. Don't talk yet. Whoa, whoa. Now, Las Vegas, when I count to three, I want you to say hello to California. One, two, three. We heard ya. We also want to welcome Visalia, all the other campuses, Springville, we love you, Ventura, Cal State, you're special. Love y'all. And so this is a something that we don't normally do, having Vegas join us live. So let's get into the Word, man. We're here to hear God, right? Not me. We're here to hear God and what He wants to say to us. So let's pray a simple prayer. Father God, Lord, I have something in my heart, and I need to be able to get it out of my heart today. And I ask that You would cause the people to be able to supernaturally see what's being said and how it applies to their life. Guide us, lead us, Lord. Let this be an inspiring time, yet an eye-opening time. Spirit, do Your work in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. I will end kind of abruptly today. We'll end with a video, and after the video, we'll be dismissed. I'm going to go back and sign some books. I'm very excited about Charlie Finds a Home. So today, we're going to continue a study in the book of Daniel. We've been doing a study there, and today we come to a story about three young Hebrew men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop. King Nebuchadnezzar, for reasons we don't fully know, he erected a 90-foot-tall statue. And he took this statue and put it up in the plain of Dura. And he called all of the governor officials and all of the VIPs in his kingdom to go out to the plains of Dura. And when the orchestra started up the music, that everyone was to bow in allegiance to this magnificent statue that he had built. People always ask about Daniel, because Daniel was our hero in our text 2 weeks ago. Where was Daniel at when all of this happened? More than likely, because he was of such high position in the government, he was still back in the capital taking care of business. He probably wasn't invited out with these other government employees to pay homage to this statue. Nevertheless, what happens is the king tells the people. He says, whenever the orchestra strikes up their number, once they start playing, everybody's to bow and pay an homage to this statue, this idol. If you don't bow, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, right away, if you're a child of God, this presents a dilemma. We're not going to bow to a false idol. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was no exception. They refused to bow. So if you can see all of these thousands of government employees and VIPs bowing to this idol, and you see three young men standing up erect going, no, 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 we don't do that. We are loyal to God's Word. And the Ten Commandments say that we're not to, you know, give ourselves to idols. and to vain images. And so whenever this happened, of course, the other government officials ran to the king and tattletaled on these three guys, and they said, you have three Jewish young men here who refuse to bow. What are you going to do with them? Well, the king brings Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in to see him and says, is it true you didn't bow like I told everyone to bow? And they said, no, we didn't. And so he told the officials, he said, okay, go out and take that fiery furnace and heat it up seven times hotter than what it was. We're going to cast these guys in and kill them. Now, with that backdrop in mind, let's look at our text, Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer. Now, this is the second time they're appearing before him. And he says, you're not going to bow? He said, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to strike the orchestra up one more time and give you a second chance. Maybe you'll come to your senses. You need to bow. And so they say to him, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, let's forward it a little bit here and go down to verse 23. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace, blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, king, there were three. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. You servants of the Most High God, come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Wow. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king caused Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Now, this story just really, really encourages me. Here are three young men who had the boldness and the audacity to stand against their culture and say, you all might do it, but you know what? We don't do it. We are children of God, and we're committed to His commandments and His word. Today, we need those kind of people rising up again, who will say to our culture, you might do it that way, we don't, because we belong to God. You might say those things, you might do those things, you might go those places, but we don't, because we belong to God. Now, listen up, gang. Our country is in a mess. It's in a mess. I have never seen a time like this, where there's so much venom, there's so much anger, there's so much bitterness, there's so much arguing, there's so much disunity. Like it or not, there is a major big-time cultural war going on. The secular progressives are out to to make a statement. The traditional religious people are coming against them, and it's getting ugly. It's getting ugly. Listen to me. Stay tuned today. I was looking up some books on the internet that were written 4 or 5 years ago by these masterminds of culture. And they said the culture war is over and the secular progressives have won. Well, I want to tell you, it isn't over. When President Trump got elected, it started up all over again. And I want to tell you, the secular progressives have not won. Don't count your chicks before they're hatched. Listen to me. I saw a t-shirt the other day. It says, "The devil saw me with my head down and he thought he had won until I said amen." Yes. I mean, society is angry. I'm on the internet now and boy, people are coming out of silent closets, man. They're beginning to speak. I got to show you this. It's not doing my sermon, but to show you how angry people are getting. Even Doc Vader's getting mad. Take a look at Doc Vader. This just cracked me up.
These patients are like, "Oh my God, I have 10 out of 10 pain. I'm dying. Please help me. You need to see me right now in the emergency." I'm like, "You have a freaking hangnail. That's a hangnail. That's a piece of skin off your nail that's paining you a little bit. Go clip it off at home. Why are you in my ER? What's wrong with you people? Unless your arm or your hand has been amputated by a lightsaber, I don't want to see you in the emergency department. It's called emergency for a reason, you nerf herder. Someone needs to educate. I have the sniffles. I want an antibiotic. Oh, you want C. diff. Is that what you want? You want to crap your brains out while your colon explodes like a Death Star. That's what you want? Because I can give you that. Oh, yes, I can go dark side on your colon right now. Get out of my ER. Vader, don't play that. Real talk.
That's what I mean. Society's getting mad. Society's getting fed up. When Doc Vader has to put a mask on to say that, I mean, I'm looking on the internet now and people are starting to speak out. It's ugly, it's name-calling, it's disrespectful on both sides, especially if you come against the secular progressives. They'll call you names. If you're against gay marriage, you're a homophobic and you're terminally bigoted. If you are for the war on terrorism, you're a warmonger. If you're for the war on terrorism, but you didn't serve in the armed services, then you're a chicken hawk. If you're pro-life, you're anti-woman's rights, or you're a narrow, bigoted, minded, uneducated moron. Names are being called. They're being hurled. There's people that love President Trump and people who hate President Trump. People cannot figure out what sexual gender they are. And for those people that are changing sexual genders, half of society thinks they're mentally disturbed. The other ones applaud them. It is crazy what's going on. Where is it going to stop at? President elections will never be the same again. I mean, we crossed a point in history now that it doesn't matter who's elected president next. The ones of us that didn't vote for them don't have to accept them. We do not. It is crazy what's happened in this country. I know some of you are younger. You haven't been around for a long time. I've seen it. There has never, ever been a time like this. Now, I don't use the pulpit for political causes, never have, never will. But let me say this one thing. The United States of America is going to hell in a handbasket, and we will continue to go to hell in a handbasket until we turn back to God. That's where we are going. God has said enough is enough. If America doesn't change, we will stop being a significant power in the world in the next decade to come. We will lose our place of preeminence unless we turn back to God. I'm telling you, the handwriting is on the wall. Here's a verse that is pretty much true of our generation today, Judges 21:25. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." There's no standard of measure for our value systems anymore. Hollywood makes fun of Christians. I don't know if you saw it, but I just saw The View disappear off of television. I am fed up with The View. I watched these women imply that Vice President Pence was mentally unstable because he said God speaks to him and guides him. I think that is real. And they did it with such an arrogant, pompous, proud, boisterous spirit. Now hold on to your seats for a moment. I'm on a roll, okay? Don't stop me now. Knowing that whatever you say, there's some bored, self-acclaimed social media guru out there waiting to take one sentence that you say and blow it out of proportion, out of context. I saw something that the governor of Kentucky said the other day, and I thought what he said was really cool. Then I went on the internet, and they took two or three sentences out of what he said and blew his whole speech out of the water. That is bad journalism. There's a lot of bad journalism going on today, and I do believe there's a lot of fake news. I didn't believe it in the beginning when Trump said it, but I do think there's a lot of fake news going on, and it's getting ridiculous. Let me put it this way. I'm not so much for gun control, and I'm not so much against gun control, as much as I'm for a solution that stops people from shooting our kids and innocent people. That's what I'm for. I'm not for gay rights, and I'm not so much against gay rights as much as I'm for people learning who they are in Christ and living a life that's pleasing to God. I'm not so much for Trump, I'm not so much against Trump, as much as I'm for having a president who can have some dignity and get to the bottom of the solutions of what's plaguing our world. That's what I'm for. That's what you should be for. Listen to me. I'm telling you, America needs God like never before. It would not surprise me in a couple decades to see a civil war in America. It would not surprise me. There's a lot of heated up people on both sides that have had enough, and they've said enough is enough. Now, what is our position as the Church of Jesus Christ? We need to come back to our value system. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it, and what we believe needs to be based on the Word of God, or shut up. Shut up. Don't speak for us. Don't say, I'm a Christian, but I believe something that's directly in opposition to God's Word. We don't want to hear that. It's like, will the real Christian stand up? If you're a Christian, you speak up from a value system that is rooted in the Word of God, or you don't speak for the rest of us. There's a lot of people out there saying, well, I'm a Christian, here's what I believe, and what they say they believe is totally against God's Word. We've got to get back to the Bible, be bold, be audacious. Now, with that in mind, settle down, Ron. Settle down. Now let's teach a little bit, okay? I don't like just rant and rave. I set you a foundation for wanting to hear this message. Now, let's teach a little bit. Listen to me. First of all, well, let me say something else before I preteach, okay? No, I'm not through yet. Let me say one more thing. Have we gone crazy? Literally crazy. Have we lost all of our logic? I mean, what has happened to this country? Do we think for a second that our problems can be solved with one thing, like gun control or getting a new president or a new constitution? Are we that narrow-minded to think that it's just one thing that's causing all this? Listen to me. Listen to me. I am getting totally fed up that we're pointing our fingers at one thing. And we're saying change gun control. I agree, there might need to be some gun control changed. I don't know if anybody needs a 40-bullet clip to go hunt a deer. If you can't hit a deer with a 5-bullet clip, stop hunting. Stop hunting. You're a menace to society. If you have to shoot like a machine gun to shoot little Bambi out there, you know, give me a break. Yes, we might need gun control, but at the same time, why are we pushing on one issue when we do not look at this crapola being poured out of these gangster rappers' mouths about murder and killing? Why are we okay with that? I went on the internet and I took a look and I was just totally shocked. Gangsta, it's schoolboy Q. You could die right here, gangsta blankety blanks. I'm not going to read them. Here's 9 pages. I'm going to shoot you with my AK, and I'm going to watch you bleed, and I'm going to go tell your mama she's got a stiff laying upstairs. I'm going to shoot you with my 9mm. I love killing people. I mean, it's ridiculous that some of your kids are listening to this. It's ridiculous. Why are we looking at just one thing, and that one thing might need to be looked at, but why aren't we looking at the video games our kids are playing, where they celebrate killing, they celebrate raping? Why are we not looking at that? Why are we not watching our kids and who they hang out with? They're getting drunk and getting killed in car accidents. Why don't we care about that? Why don't we care about these doctors that anytime our kid has one little problem, they throw medication at them, and a lot of that medication makes them suicidal and not give a crap about their life, and then they go out and take other people's lives, they don't give a crap about their life. Why aren't we looking at all this? Obesity will kill 1,000 people today. Why aren't we looking at that? I'm telling you, for us to think that one thing's going to change our nation is a bunch of, this is a Greek word, a bunch of cockabool. I'm getting sick of people that say, I demand that you see me the way I am. I demand that you celebrate my way of life. I demand that you accept me the way I am, but they won't accept me the way I am. It's a two-way street, my friends. If I'm going to accept you the way you are, you accept me the way I am. Let's agree to disagree. Let's love one another. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you've changed from a male to a female, whatever. I'm still going to love you within the realm of decency. I'm still going to see you as a person that hurts, a person that cries. And I will do whatever I can for you. I'm not going to judge you. Should gay people have rights? You bet they should have rights, because you have rights. We all have a right to live the way we want to live for 75 years, and then we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. You just better make sure you're right. You better look at the Word of God and make sure that you're right. Now can I settle down? I'll tell you what, I've been quiet too long. The church doesn't need to be quiet anymore. They need to stand up. Now, what's a value? Let's teach. Is that okay if I do it every once in a while? This has been burning in my heart. It's been burning in my heart. You accept me the way I am. Well, then accept me the way I am. Let's agree to disagree. A value is determined by what another is willing to pay for it. A value is always usually connected to sacrifice. If you offer to pay me $50 an hour to work for you, then what you give must be equal to what you get. You're giving me an hour of your time that you'll never have back again in all of time. And you must get something back that's worth that. What I paid for the jeans I have on today determines their value. These happen to be diesels, and I get diesels because they last me 10 times longer than any other pant. They cost a little more, but they save me from buying 3 pairs of pants. If I have a garage sale, if I put a dollar on something, obviously it's not as valuable as something that I put $500 on. Let me give you a definition of an intrinsic value. Intrinsic value is an actual value of something based upon both the tangible and the intangible factors. I have a Jeep in my garage that I paid, I think, $4,500 for. I got a steal on it. And that Jeep, I went to a friend to have him paint it, and he did this masterful paint job. And I begged him to charge me, and he wouldn't charge me. And I went to another friend, and he put a top on it for me and did some things. And again, I begged him, but he didn't let me. He said it was a gift to me. I put some big tires and wheels. That Jeep and I have been through a lot together. Someone the other day offered me $6,000 for it, and I go, no. You'd have to give me $15,000 for that Jeep before I would take it. Now, its extrinsic value is only $5,000-$6,000 probably, but the intrinsic value, what it means to me, is worth a whole lot more. I told you, Debbie and I are pretty bad where we've circled around now and buying houses, and we went back and bought a house we had in 2002. We rebought our old house for twice the price than we paid for it in 2001, but or 2000, but that house has intrinsic value. My granddaughters, my family's so excited about that house. We were walking around the other day, and Kylie and Kinsey, my two granddaughters, says, "Papa, remember this raised area right here? We used to do concerts for everybody every Saturday night." The little granddaughters were little bitty, and they'd come out and plug their PA in, and they would do concerts and dance for all of us, and we would clap. I went out and looked in the backyard where Joshua blew up half the backyard with explosives one night at about 11 o'clock at night. Remember how I chewed him out for doing that? We went out in the back, the swimming pool, where Kylie faked like she was drowning when she was 5 years old, and Joshua jumped in with his clothes on and everything to save her. And we went around, and I looked at the garage door. It was an Easter, I'll never forget. It was an Easter service, and I was doing my last minute preparations, and I waited till the last minute to come to church. My wife had already gone to church. The family had already gone. And so I slammed the garage door, ran out to my car, and I go, "My car keys, they're in the house." And I knew I didn't have 5 minutes. I didn't know what to do. So with the garage door up and the neighbors, I'm sure, watching, I grabbed an axe out of the garage and beat the door down, put a big hole in it, went through there and got my keys and left. And yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm wondering what the neighbors were thinking. So this house has intrinsic value. Now, as Christians, let's think about values for a moment. And before I say any more, let me talk to you about one value that every other value starts with. And that is, we need to value ourselves first. I've learned to see that if we don't value ourselves, then other values in life don't mean a whole lot. Let me tell you something. God made us in our image. God saw something valuable in us. Look at Psalms 139, 14 through 16. "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me." Now think about what God told me the other day. He said, "Ron, why die before your time?" He has a time for us. Some of you are short-circuiting your time of life on this earth, and God doesn't want you to do that anymore, so listen closely today. So it says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance." That's one reason that we do not think abortion is right. We think that life begins at conception. "But your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of those days." Now, so many people die. They go to their graves without ever knowing their intrinsic value. They live and die without ever knowing the spiritual gift that God has given them on this earth. They live and die without ever knowing what God can fully do through someone who's submitted to Him. They die, so many do, without knowing their uniqueness, that there's only one of them on the face of the earth. Celebrate who you are. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not die but have everlasting life." I value the life as God has given me. And I marvel at the fact that God loved me so much. God saw so much value in you and I that He was willing to send His only begotten Son to die on a cross for us. That's how much He valued us. See, God, I will forever be grateful to Him. God has made a way. that when my children die and my loved ones die, that I don't have to be separated from them for a very long time. He's made a way where I will be reunited with them again. Wow, wow, wow. I watched a video this week of a man, a father who had lost his daughter in the Florida high school shooting. And I just wanted to cry out at the screen, somebody share the gospel with him. As he stood there and looked at President Trump, he said, do you understand? My daughter is gone. I will never, ever see her again. In all eternity, I will never see her again. She is gone forever. And I thought, somebody share the good news with that man. Somebody share the gospel with him. God is my life. And he valued me so much that he sent his son to die on a cross. And that in return has a lot to say about what I value. When people on social media start knocking my God and trashing him, I get angry because I value the one who valued me enough to send his son to die for me. Years ago, the Californian, many decades ago, on Easter, they found that they would often, I found that they would often write these derogatory articles about Jesus. Was he really God? Who he was? I got so mad one day, I called the Californian. I said, if you dare print one more of those articles, I vow I'll get 40,000 people in the city to stop getting your newspaper. I promise you. I got angry over it, and they stopped. For many years, I don't know what they're doing now because I don't read it very often, but they stop. I get very, very angry at ignorant Christian doctrines that make my God look like something that he's not, and that those values are predicated on the fact that he valued me. In John chapter 7, the Lord tells a little immoral lady who was in there wiping his feet with her hair and loving on him and crying. He told the Pharisees in essence that those that are forgiven a lot love a lot. And I'll tell you something. I don't know about you, but a lot of us have never really told our real testimony. We've just told the testimony we want people to hear. Because if we told our real testimony, we don't know what they would think about us. But you know what? God knows my real testimony, and he still values me. And that's pretty doggone good. Now, until we value ourselves, we won't value anything else. God thinks I'm valuable. Now, listen to me. It's very important that the church comes back to strong value systems. It's very important that we get back into the Word of God and see what His Word says about social issues, about relationships, about the thought life, about the spiritual life. Now, there are many reasons for a value system, but let me just rattle off four or five real quickly. Number one, to keep me from making choices and decisions based on instant gratifications and impulse. So a value system keeps me from doing that. For example, after seeing my dad have 3 open heart surgeries, my brother having 2, I came to a decision that I needed to value my health more. And so my value system keeps me away from Krispy Kreme donuts. If I didn't have that value system, I'll tell you what, I would look like a donut. Affairs happen more to people without a set of values. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned something like this. For people with strong Christian value systems, their chance of having affairs are less than others. For example, my wife and I have a value system, I'm sure you do too. But tomorrow, if some man knocked on my door and said, hey, I just came by, Pastor Ron said you have a leaky faucet, I'm going to come in and look at it, she would say to you, Pastor Ron's not here right now, he'll be back tomorrow. Why don't you come back tomorrow and then you can take a look at it? We have values in place. I don't know what yours are like, but in my offices, I don't like men touching women for any reason. I don't think that us men should have private lunch appointments with people of the opposite sex. I think the same should be true for women. Social media passwords, you make values up, guys. I think your wives or spouses or somebody ought to have every password that you have. My wife happens to be anti-social media. She doesn't do Facebook. She doesn't do anything. So Nikki, Nicole Dickey here, has every password to every one of my sites. She's got Facebook. She's got everything. My whole life is an open book to Nicole Dickey and others. There's probably two or three other staff members that have access to my stuff if they wanted it, but they do grant me the respect of privacy. In other words, if you write me, not everybody's going to see it. But if they wanted to look at it, they could, but they don't. So it helps to have a value system in place. It will protect you, and it helps you to live a wise life. What is wisdom? Wisdom, looking down the road ahead of time and saying, this stuff will protect me. Guys, I don't know, maybe I'm intruding into private space today, but I don't think anybody should have social media with passwords that's only safe for themselves. I think somebody, your spouse or somebody, should have a right to look at your social media if they want to. That will protect you, okay? Number two, it makes it easier in life if you have a value system. I don't have to think hard for excuses like, you want to go to this bad movie? No, I don't have to think hard because I have a value system that says I don't go to bad movies. Do you want to join a club where we, every third Sunday, we go out of town? No, I have a value system. Unless I'm sick or on vacation, I don't miss church. Number three, it pleases God. Look at Proverbs 12:22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. Now, obviously, if we are God's delight, then we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. If we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, the Bible says we'll get the desires of our heart even. So I'm telling you, it pleases God to have a good value system. Number three, makes people curious about Christ. Again, 2 weeks ago, I'll be redundant. Whenever you have a solid value system in place, it gets people thinking, man. For example, if somebody comes to you and says, you know what? We're going to go hunting a private property today, Ron. We found a way to sneak in. Go with us. And I would say to them, you know what? I can't do that because God would see and He would be displeased with me. And so you guys go. Hope you don't get caught. I'll see you say a prayer for you, but I can't go. Their wheels are now turning. You go to a boss and say, sir, say, you know what? I've got to tell you something. 3 weeks ago, there was a stack of pencils in the break room, and I needed three or four, and I just stuck in my backpack and took them home, and God burned my heart that that wasn't right, and I brought the pencils back, and I know it might not mean a lot to you, but it was wrong, and God saw it. Do you know how that guy's wheels are going to be turning? He's going to go, really? You take it that seriously? That's crazy. Or you go to your boss and say, man, I took a 45 minutes longer lunch hour than I should have, so I'm going to work overtime tonight, but I wanted you to know that. I'm telling you, you're going to have these people's wheels spinning. They're going to be thinking about God. Let me tell you something. You got to plant some seeds out there. Give God something to work with when you're praying for those people. And those are the kind of things you'll give God. Look at 1 Peter 3:16. And keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who slander your good behavior, they'll be put to shame. I told you about an acquaintance of mine, a friend that pastors a big church in Hawaii. And one day he was driving down the road and he saw a bunch of trash in the road. And because of his value system, he thought he should do something about it. He parked his car, got out and cleaned up the trash. A Muslim or a Buddhist, I forgot which one, saw him doing that and was so taken by it that he showed up to church the next week. And he told the pastor, he said, if you're humble enough to clean trash out of the road and you're a leader of the church, then I think I want to attend your church. And so let me tell you, the world is watching at us and our value system speaks very loudly. Another reason you want a value system is that it triggers the sow and reap law. I believe with all of my heart, if I treat your kids well and I die, then you will treet my kids well because what you mete out to others will come back to you. I believe with all of my heart, if I pray for you, others will pray for me. I believe with all of my heart that if I give, I will get back. And so whatever is given out comes back. Now, acting in concert with your values are very, very important. How many of you heard these expressions before? Put your money where? Yes. Walk the walk. Don't talk the talk. Actions speak louder? Yes. Now, some values change as you grow in life. For example, when I was younger, my value is work 60, 70 hours a week. Work, work, work to make your way. I'm older now. I don't have the energy to work 60 hours a week. I had enough energy to barely get here today. Going to the gym when I was younger, I wanted to build muscles. I wanted to be big. Today I go just to keep breathing. I want to stay in good shape. It's a different thing altogether. When I was younger, I wanted to spend a lot of time with the kids. Today the kids say, Dad, haven't you got something to do? Josh and I babysat the other day and we made a mess out of everything. Diet. You know, my values have changed. I used to eat a McDonald's hamburger in 2 bites. Yes, I could do it in 2 bites. Now I don't eat McDonald's hamburgers, period. It's not a value of mine anymore. So let me challenge you with 2 more things before we quit because we're out of time. Number one, what does your lifestyle tell you about the value of these things? I want to mention them. When I mention these things, what does your lifestyle tell you about fitness and health? What does your lifestyle tell you about that? If you're smoking and you're a couch potato, then obviously it's not a value to you. It's not a value to live very long for you. That's okay. Community. When I say community, what does your lifestyle tell you about your value of community? Come out for serving in March and we'll see. Money. When I say money, what does your lifestyle tell you about your value of money? Do you give? If you don't give, then you probably don't have a healthy value system of money. Friendship, church, education, integrity. Defining moments for your kids' life. What does your lifestyle tell you about that? If you really value defining moments for your kids' life, you'll find a way to get them a camp every year. Because I'll tell you what, they'll have defining moments. So when I mention those things, see, you have to see what your life's telling you about them. Now, last, let me mention these kingdom values. I wrote out 30 kingdom values that you probably didn't even know was in the Bible. Let me mention 5 of them, and then we're going to watch a video and go home. The first one is this. Did you know this kingdom value is in the Bible? Availability over self-centeredness. Look at Philippians 2:20-21. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Look at Mark 12:31. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor like you would yourself. Look out for their interests like you would look out for your own interests. There's no other greater commandment than these. Listen to me. What value do you have about availability? I've said it for beauticians. Could you give 3 hours once a week if you own the beauty shop to single moms who can't afford to come in? Car mechanics, if you own your own place, could you give 3 or 4 hours one day a week to do some free work on single moms and single dads' cars? Carpenters, tax people, hospital calls. What about if we were available to God? And what if we just said, you know, like I tithe money, I'll tithe my time. God, I'm going to give you every Thursday evening. And we just really lived recklessly. And we drove out to the park and said, God, I've got 4 hours. What do you want me to do? Just lay it on my heart. I'll call somebody. I'll go visit somebody. I'll go to the hospital. And every Thursday evening, you drove out to the park and said, God, this is yours. I'm available to you. Availability is a value in the Bible. Number two, in the Bible, we're told that humility over pride is a value. What is a humility? It's being gentle. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. See, today, humility is a value of the Bible. And I want you to know that our values need to show today in this area. When people want to argue over gun control, they want to argue over President Trump, they want to argue over gay rights, the LGBT thing, when they want to argue, our value should be to not argue back, but to love them and say, here is my take on this, here's what I believe, let's talk about donuts and lunch right now after that. I told at the couples retreat, I said, you know what? It's not the initiator that decides if there's going to be a conflict. It's the responder, not the initiator. It's the second person. It's like in sports football, it's usually the second person that gets the penalty. And I gave you a text at Mary's retreat to show you that the Pharisees tried to start a conflict with Jesus, but because of his short answer that was to the point and loving, they had nowhere to go with it because the responder decides. Number three, the Bible says hospitality is a value we ought to have over and above being a recluse. Look at Hebrews 13 and 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. Conversations lead people to Christ. A value in the Bible, and Christians ought to have this value. Once every two or three weeks, invite non-believers over for some hot dogs. And just let conversation go as God will guide it. Just let it be, and I'll tell you, you'll win people to God. Number four, loyalty is a value in the Bible over an uncaring spirit. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he's a God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. God, he's loyal. And if he's loyal, we should be loyal. That's a value in the kingdom. Let me ask you right now, who do you need to go back and appreciate that was instrumental in your life? Somebody that was really used by God in your life, you need to go back and appreciate them every 2 years and say, I'll never forget. I'll never forget. The guy that led me to the Lord, man, I got a hold of him last week, and every year ago or so, I say, man, do you know how much I appreciate you? You led me to the Lord. Russ Combs, I appreciate you, buddy. It goes away. Way back, you've been there for me. This man did something so little. I hadn't seen this guy for a long time, and my mom or my dad, my mom had died, and he shows up at the funeral. That's all he did, is showed up at a funeral. I go, wow, you still love me. It's amazing how little things can mean such big things. And then number five is all I have time for, boldness over timidity. Look at Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence and boldness. It's time for the church to stand up. It's time for us to come out and say, no, I don't agree with that. And I'll tell you why I don't agree with that, because of God's word. It's time for us to stop taking the cue from society. There's just been why are we letting a minority of people run our country? Why are we letting a minority of people intimidate the rest of us? For years now and decades, you know what society's been saying to us? Christians, shut up and stay in your little corner. And if you shut up, we'll be nice to you. Well, you know what? You don't have to be nice to us anymore, because we're going to come out and we're going to stand on our value system according to God's word. I want you to look at this, and I'm going to go out in the back, but I got to give this lady, I've got to give Kathy Lee Gifford kudos. Kudos. I want you to see what she does right here on national TV. Take a look at this, and then we'll go home.
Kathy Gifford joins me now. She was a close friend of Billy Graham. Kathy, great to see
Still
you.
Still am.
What's your reaction? What are you thinking about today?
They came in to tell me I was in makeup over across the street, and I just immediately just put up my hands and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because he has been lingering and languishing. Last time I saw him was 4 years ago at his 95th birthday party. And Frank was alive then, too, and we went down there. And I was sitting with his granddaughter at a table and hadn't seen him, and he was quite frail. But I knew in my heart it would be the last time I'd see him. So I said to her, I said, can I go over and just tell your grandfather thank you? Because my whole family came to faith in Jesus through the Billy Graham organization.
Is that right?
Yes, and I personally did, going to the first movie that the Billy Graham organization ever put out. It was called The Restless Ones. And it's like God met me in my heart right where I lived. I wanted to be an actress. So where does God meet me? In a movie theater. And at that time, he took a lot of flack for even making a movie.
See, I find this interesting, because you have the same philosophy as he did, which he used to say, he used to preach about the joy
Absolutely.
Of belief.
Absolutely.
That sounds like you.
And what just happened for Billy happened for my husband, happened for my mother, for my father. Everybody that dies in Christ goes immediately into the arms of Christ for eternity. That is the hope of the Christian faith. Yes, it gives us the tools we need to live in the world today while we're alive. But that's why I could hold my dead husband in my arms and rejoice, because I knew where he was. And it gives you the peace that passes all understanding. And if we've ever needed peace in this world, We need it now, right? And somebody says to me, why are you so bold about your faith? And I was looking at everybody's beautiful face right now. You too. I said, why are you so bold about your faith? And I said, you know what? If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it quiet? Or would you hold it and keep it a secret? And I always say, I have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. And he has a name, and it's Jesus. And if you just receive, I talked somebody off a cliff this morning on Twitter at 4:30 this morning, because he says, how do I know your Jesus? How can I get to know your Jesus? And I feel so privileged to be able to share just the good news. Gospel means good news. It's good news. And I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with the living God. They're so different. We don't need more religion. We need more Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our